Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of June, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and hear about the weather forecast from Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way today, we'll hear from the state statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. Those are the five top corn-growing states in the nation, and all about tomorrow's Weed Science Field Day to be held right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Aaron Hager will be along with the details during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
This important local news note as we begin our program. There has been a gas line cut at the corner of First Street and Hazelwood, that in Champaign. Ameren is on the scene there, but please do try to avoid it. Now let's take a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago for a Tuesday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were 4.75 higher for the July contract at 6.58 on the settlement price. September at 5.76.5, down 2.5, and December at $5.44.5, 2 cents lower. March contract in the corn pit at 5.55, down 2, and the May at 5.62 of next year, down 2.25. July next year, down 2.25 as well, at $5.68.25. The soft red July in Chicago at 6.75.75 for the wheat, down 3.25. Hard red in Kansas City at 7.13.25, down 5.75 on the day. Bean futures now 15.25.25, settlement price 13.25 higher. August at $14.29.25, up 8 cents. September at 12.23.5, up 6.75. November soybeans a nickel higher at $12.78.5. January at 12.81.75, up 5 cents. Bean meal futures up $8. Bean oil 41 cents higher. August live cattle at 121 even. We're down 17.5 cents on the day. And the August feeder cattle at $147.90. We're 22.5 cents higher. September there at 150. We're down a dime. Lean hogs July contract at $100, 22.5 cents for 100 pounds. We're down 72.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, August contract, $95.29 a barrel, up 11 cents for the afternoon. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at 273.7. That's just about unchanged on the day. And the ethanol trading at 244.6 is just about a half a cent higher. The difference between the two at 29.1 cents is a half a cent narrower than it was on Monday. And natural gas now trading at 365.1 is down 8.8 cents. Diesel fuel with the New York Harbor Ultra Low Sulfur Diesel at 285.8, just about 0.3 cents higher. And gold futures on the day at $1,274.90 an ounce, down down $1.90. The U.S. dollar trading at 82.55. That's up 0.13 on the afternoon. Let's check the weather forecast as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Scattered showers today, a few thunderstorms, otherwise mostly sunny, a high of 88 degrees on a south-southwest wind at about 16 miles an hour. It'll gust all the way to 23 this afternoon. And then this evening, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a low of 71. The chance of precipitation in the area tonight set at 40%, 50% chance of rain showers for tomorrow, partly sunny otherwise, and 88, breezy southwest winds at 13 to 20, gusting to 28, and Wednesday night a 50% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms. Those will all come before before 2 a.m. in the evening. Mostly cloudy, a low around 72. West winds at 7 to 15, gusting all the way to 21. And on Thursday, mostly sunny skies and 87 degrees. A west-northwest wind by then at 8 to 16 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 23. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a production of Will Ag at WILLAG.org.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
On this Tuesday afternoon, let's check for the 25th day of June. What happened in the futures markets? To help us out with that is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
And let's start with the overnight trade and then work your way into what happened during the day trade.
Well, you know, we had a little pop in the overnight trade up just a little bit, through the evening. The idea that, we were expecting, but then the crop ratings weren't as good as they were hoping for coming out a little bit. And then as we got into the day trade, why we sold things off. And then the beans were led by old crop or July beans and July corn, and we saw a little bit of buying and a little fun buying coming back in a little evening up before the report on Saturday and the beans as the day went on.
Yeah, a nice little pop in the nearby July, of course, that you talked about. Is that just on ideas that we'll have tighter supplies or are there basis moves? What's happening here?
I think that both, Todd. I think that the idea is that we are short of stocks. The crushers are having trouble buying beans. We don't need to export any more beans with the tightness of the crush and the meal demand. And that there's some people that did sell some beans and they need to get out of those and they don't want to be caught that way come Friday after 11 o'clock when the report comes out. So I think that along with the idea that there's some people that are actually throwing around the possibility that instead of an added million acres of beans planted because of all the corn that was delayed, that there might not even have got up to their total levels of corn being planted. So beans that went in where the
Correct.
Corn didn't go in was what I was meaning there. I mm-hmm. said that wrong. Mm-hmm. But, that's the possibility, and they are looking for that idea to possibly be portrayed in the report on Friday.
Would that be one of the reasons that soybeans on their weekly crop progress, and we'll hear this later, jumped up by a percentage point? It's not a big jump, but I suppose maybe some would have thought that might have gone down as opposed to up.
Well, you know, if we don't have as many acres, that means the marginal ones that maybe didn't come in, that'd be just up looking scraggly, aren't there? I'll tell you what, in our travels, when you were gone for a few days from this area and come back, the beans have really, really popped and improved with this warm weather.
It doesn't take long. A little warm weather, some heat, some rain, and everything comes up really fast.
Oh, it's just a beautiful crop of beans out there right now. And 2 weeks ago, I would have said scraggly looking terrible.
Yeah, and then the corn crop, I saw just a photo somebody had taken of their child in the corn crop a week ago and then 1 week later. And boy, what a move that can make, too.
You know, and by next week, some of us might be struggling to hardly see through the cornfield.
You and I, maybe.
not some of the tall guys, but some of the short people, we're going to get to the point where it's going to be hard to see around corners where there's a cornfield on the corner.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, the grain stocks and the acreage reports, of course, are due out. You mentioned sort of the acreage reports already, but grain stocks could be an interesting find this time around.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be big because, how much corn do we have? The average guess is 2.845 on the corn and 4.42 on the beans. You know, above or below those numbers could move this market quite a bit. One of the things we did see today, that we did see some of the advisory firms putting out some sell orders on the Geese corn when they broke the 50-day moving average there at 542. And we did see some movement, another 20% of their new crop corn on that. So there are some people who are watching that 50-day moving average on the corn.
Yeah, so the idea is here maybe that even if we don't have as good a corn crop or as many acres as we think we have, we still may very well raise a record-sized corn crop, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, basically, along the way, the crop, the ratings are looking good now. We know what's in his planet, and we're having ideal growing conditions right now, and that's still going to put us at a pretty big crop. The big thing that people are looking at more so, though, Todd, is not the production as much as they're looking at. Maybe the government's been a little optimistic on their usage tables.
No. Which part of it do you think they're optimistic
on? Well, I mean, there's talk that basically we've got maybe reduced hog herd because of the PED and coming on, and there hasn't been any retention of heifers for more cattle coming on next year, and they were upping our feed usage for this next year, let alone the exports that, you know, we're hearing that the world numbers aren't that small, and, you know, the Russian and South American crops are going to be big competition for us to get back that business that we couldn't ship to for the grain we didn't have this year.
You know, it's pretty easy for people to figure out what the acreage report is, simply because that it sounds just like what it is. But the grain stocks report's kind of different, and I suspect most people have a pretty good understanding of it. But it's just what we have left on hand from last year's crop and whatever was in the bin at that time?
Yeah, I mean, don't we have sort of a study being ordered by the USDA on this to check and to see how they've gathered their numbers? And I think Darrell's commented about this and the accuracy seeing the way some of those in the trade feel that this number has varied too much over the last five reports.
Yeah, so they collect from, 9,000 sites. That would be a whole lot of sites for the off-farm storage. And then, of course, there's the on-farm storage, which farmers sort of give them some numbers on. And once they put them all together, they try to come up with an accurate figure of what's actually on hand in the nation.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like the census. It's close, but it's an approximation because everything isn't counted individually.
Absolutely. Hey, anything else to add before I let you go?
That's about it. Have a good day, Todd.
Hey, you too. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now, if you get the opportunity, please do visit our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of fun stuff, including all of our agricultural programming. It's posted to the website not long after it airs on our radio stations. Can't hear us on the radio stations, can't pick us up on the web at willag.org. Then just dial this number at about 10:15 or 3:15 each and every business day, Central Time, USA. That's 217-333-3434. We update it with some of the numbers and a bit of analysis. The number again, 217-333-3434. Of course, it's just voicemail and one of the many ways you can hear our programming from willag.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 96% of the corn crop around the nation has emerged. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 99%. 51% of the crop is in good condition, 14% in excellent condition. By comparison, last year those numbers were 45 and 11. Soybeans now planted across the nation set at 92% compared to the rolling five-year average of 95%. 81% of the crop is up. Last year and on the rolling five-year average, that number is 89%. The condition of the crop, just like the corn, is now in 65% good to excellent condition. By comparison, last year, just 53% of the soybeans were said to be in good to excellent condition. Let's take a closer look at the Iowa numbers. They did not report directly to us from the state statistician, but they did manage to send us their weekly crop progress update. And it says that Iowa farmers had a good week last week. The corn crop now 96% planted, marking the first year since 1993 that any corn in the state of Iowa remained to be planted at this late date. 93% of the corn crop there has emerged. Normally, all corn would be up. Corn conditions showed a very slight improvement week over week in Iowa, and it was rated in 3% very poor, 11% poor, 32% fair, and 44% good condition, 10% excellent. 90% of the soybean crop has been planted in the state of Iowa, an advancement of 13 percentage points in just 1 week, still below the normal 98%. 75% of the soybean crop is up and growing in Iowa, well behind the five-year average of 94%. The soybean crop rating improved slightly and is now said to be in 44% good and 9% excellent condition. One other note from Iowa, 67% of the oat crop has headed, almost catching up with the normal 72%. Now here are the state statisticians from the rest of the primary corn-growing states in the Midwest.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Rain held off for most of the week, but then soaked the state on the weekend. Soybean planting reached 96% complete. That compares to 100% 1 year ago and a five-year average of 93%. 87% of the crop has emerged and 1% of acres are now blooming. Corn is 21 inches tall compared to 51 inches last year and 35 inches normally at this time. Wheat harvest reached 12% complete. That compares to 82% last year and 34% for the five-year average. In terms of crop conditions, the corn crop improved a little last week and is now rated 2% very poor, 7% poor, 24% fair, 50% good, and 17% excellent. Soybeans are 8% in very poor to poor condition, 23% fair, and 69% in good to excellent condition. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with a crop progress report for the week ending June 23, 2013. Rainfall across much of the state combined with above normal temperatures to boost the growth of spring planted crops. Rainfall amounts of 2 inches or more were recorded in northern rangeland counties and portions of the eastern panhandle. However, most totals across the state were less than 1 inch. Damaging hail occurred in a number of counties during the week. Hay harvest was active with high humidity and rain, limiting good drying conditions, and the high winds during the week made herbicide application difficult. Most of the wheat in the southern third of the state was turning color, with harvest expected to begin in those areas near July 4th. In the west, proso millet and dry bean planting were virtually complete, and statewide pasture and range conditions continued to rate mostly fair. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with a weekly crop weather report. Wet conditions continued to delay crop progress behind the five-year average. Statewide temperatures were 2.2 degrees above normal, and precipitation was 1.56 inches above normal for the week. The central district had the greatest average amount of precipitation, and that reached 3.8 inches. Corn planting is nearly finished at 96% complete. Corn emergence reached 90% complete, and that's still behind the five-year average of 100%. The statewide average corn height was 10 inches tall. That compares to 32 inches last year and the average of 21 inches tall. Corn condition slightly improved to reach 59% good or excellent condition, and that compares to last week's 58%. Despite the wet conditions, soybean planting did advance 10 percentage points to reach 94% complete, and the emergence of soybeans advanced 17 percentage points, and that reached 81% complete. Soybean condition was 1% very poor, 5% poor, 36% fair, 52% good, and 6% excellent. Nearly one half of the spring wheat was at or beyond the joint stage. That compares to 100% last year and the average of 69%. Spring wheat condition improved to 63% good or excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending June 23rd. Total precipitation from Monday, June 17th through Sunday, June 23rd, ranged from 0 inches at Indianapolis to 3.45 inches at Vincennes. Warm temperatures and little precipitation early in the week allowed farmers to catch up on many activities that had been put on hold due to the previous week's storms. Irrigation systems were running on some of the northern county's sandier soils during the week. Corn condition improved slightly and is rated 76% good to excellent compared to 27% last year at this time. 96% of the intended soybean acreage has been planted compared with 100% last year and 94% for the five-year average. Soybean planting is nearing completion in northern and central areas of the state, with the biggest lag being in southwestern counties. Drowned out spots were also being replanted as soils dried out enough to support equipment. Soybean condition is rated 72% good to excellent compared with 24% last year at this time. The winter wheat crop is maturing very rapidly across the state, and harvest has begun in southern counties. 7% of the winter wheat acreage has been harvested at this time compared to 68% last year and 25% for the five-year average. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for their weekly crop progress updates. Now up next, you know the annual Weed Science Field Day is tomorrow right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We'll have more on what those making the trek to the South Farms will find and learn.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
The Weeds Field Day at the University of Illinois is always a good hands-on event. Aaron Hager's been responsible for the program for several years. The Extension Weed Scientist says it is meant to help all those working to control weeds in the state's primary row crops.
We actually see a pretty diversified crowd for the Weed Science Field Tour. We see a lot of farmers who come to look at the plots and look at some of the comparisons and the treatments. We see quite a few of the local folks in the retail sector. Input suppliers will attend this, as well as many of our industry contacts will be there to see how some of the products that they represent perform, as well as some of the competitor products. We'll also have this year, I believe, we'll have some visitors that are coming through from Argentina.
This year's program kicks off around 8 a.m. Wednesday morning, June 26. The gathering point is the seed house or the old brick building on the South Farms, just to the east and south of the Assembly Hall. That's on St. Mary's Road.
We'll have some coffee and rolls and things like that there for folks. As soon as they arrive, sometimes folks will get there as early as 7 or 7:15 to intermingle with some of the weed science folks that are here. You don't have to pre-register. The cost to attend is $10 a person. That helps to cover the cost of the field day book and the lunch that will serve at the noon hour.
The point of the day is to look at side-by-side comparison plots showing how different herbicide treatments work. Each of the plots is labeled and will remain so during the growing season. It means it is possible for folks to come back later in the year and get another look at the longer-term performance, says Hager.
We've got a pretty good diversity in terms of the corn experiments that will have most of the post applications already made by that time. We'll have a lot of soybean experiments. These will have all the pre-emergence treatments applied. We may be, because of the delay in the planting that we had this year, we may not have as many of the post treatments applied to soybean as we normally would. But the good news is we'll put a sign out in front of each of the plots, regardless of whether we have it sprayed or not. And even if folks are interested in maybe how a post-comparison might have looked that we didn't have ready for the field tour, we'll leave the signs up and they're welcome to come back at their leisure and take a look at these at some point in the future.
Again, the University of Illinois Weed Science Field Day is Wednesday, June 26th at the South Farms on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is Tuesday afternoon. I'll return in just a couple minutes. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don't forget to visit our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's National Strawberry Parfait Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1867, barbed wire was patented by Lucien B. Smith of Kent, Ohio. His simple idea was that of an artificial thorn hedge consisting of wire with short metal spikes twisted on by hand at regular intervals. In 1898, Ferdinand Cohen died, a German naturalist. He is considered one of the founders of bacteriology and is known for his study of algae, bacteria, insect epidemics, and plant disease. In 1918, James Douglas died. Douglas, a Canadian-American mining engineer, helped develop the copper mining industry in the U.S. Southwest. He was co-inventor of the Hunt-Douglas process for copper extraction. In 1921, the process for converting coal dust and hydrogen directly into gasoline and lubricating oils was perfected. And in 1971, Sir John Boyd Orr died, a Scottish scientist and nutrition expert. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for his work to eliminate world hunger. In 1936, his report showed the cost of a diet fulfilling basic nutritional requirements was beyond the means of half the British population, and that 10% of the population was undernourished. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the opening market report to the closing market report, everything in between, including our weekend look at the marketplace. That's called Commodity Week.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is Tuesday afternoon. Don Day from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming is here to look at the weather forecast. It's awful warm here, Don, and we keep getting rainfall. I suppose that's both a good and a bad thing. What do you see in the near future?
Well, I actually see a little bit more of the same. As we look ahead in the next week to 10 days or so, we're actually going to maybe cool off a little bit. There's going to be a big area of high pressure developing over the western half of the United States, extending up into western Canada. What this will do is direct a little bit of slightly cooler air into the northern plains, Great Lakes, Corn Belt, and Midwest. Nothing dramatic, but we'll see temperatures trending much closer to normal over the next week and maybe even a couple of days of temperatures a little bit below normal.
And then if you look further into the forecast?
Well, as we look into July, right now it appears as though a pattern's going to set up for the month of July that is a little bit of a reflection of what we've seen so far this season, which means that for the nation's heartland, midsection, Corn Belt, Midwest, more often than not, July is going to see temperatures close to normal, if not a little bit below. We do see episodes where it's going to get hot, but any heat wave is going to be short-lived, not lasting more than a week or so. So in stark contrast to July of 2012, 2013, for the nation's midsection, looks to be closer to normal, and precipitation chances are going to be probably just right, frequent enough that we don't see an extended dry periods.
What do you see around the rest of the planet?
Well, I think we're going to see a pattern that's going to be, let's first go over, maybe over into western and central areas of Europe. And when we look at precipitation, it's going to be fairly common in the eastern, central areas of Europe. Western Europe looks to be drier, France, Spain, but the Ukraine, Germany, those areas are looking at a favorable weather pattern in terms of temperature and precipitation. Heading over to China, they've been a little stormy lately, and that trend will continue. Temperatures in China are going to be warming up in the central and western areas, near normal in the south, with what looks to be good precipitation chances. So in the northern hemisphere, I don't see any big trouble areas at the moment.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. That wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.